Okay, good evening, Rabbi Isai. Good evening. Okay, we're going to be learning tonight the interesting topic of Sa'ar Shel Isha, hair, women's hair, which is uncovered. A fascinating topic, and we'll be trying to also be melamed chus a little bit, try to understand why, if people are women who are makel, what's the way forward with regard to that, which is something which is not really, the Mishneh Berurah doesn't really bring it, but some of the other poskim and achronim, they bring something which is maybe worthwhile discussing. Okay, let us see what the Shulchan Aruch says over here, in Simen Ein Hei, which is page 216. So it's very much a direct follow-on from the earlier discussion of Tefach Megula with regards to Isha, meaning that any part of the body of a woman which is uncovered is considered an erva, a tefach, or even less than a tefach. And based on that, the Shulchan Aruch now continues and identifies hair as being an erva as well. So Shulchan Aruch says the following, Sa'ar Shel Isha, hair of a woman, shedaka lechasoisoi, which normally tends to be uncovered. Tends to be covered. Shedaka lechasoisoi, which is normally covered. Also, likrois kenegdoi, agafilo ishtoi. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us first and foremost, hair is also considered an erva. And therefore, straight away, we must realize if hair is an erva and is no different than the rest of the body, then it's erva. So you can't read and say Shema and learn in front of a lady who is not covering her hair. Because it's an erva, the hair is an erva, and also because connected afilo ishta, even if she's your own wife, because we learned an erva, it doesn't make a difference. You learned, even if it's your wife, it doesn't really make a difference. It's an erva. Now, and now comes the point, which may be a bit complex, which is about besuloi shedakon leilech puois haroish muta. But besuloi's unmarried ladies, that they since ever. They never used to cover the hair. So in front of them, you are allowed to say Shema, even if the hair is uncovered, because they don't tend to cover the hair. So there's a difference between married and unmarried ladies. Correct, that's interesting. So that's straight away, it's very blatant. That, how can that be? If it's an erva, then surely it should be an erva for unmarried ladies. And if it's not an erva, it's a bit confusing. I mean, if you think about all the other parts of the body, it doesn't make a difference if she's married or not. It's an erva, so fine, so it's an erva. And if it's not an erva, it's not an erva. And that is really interesting. And Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah then continues and says, V'huadin in simli ha'sayres shal noshim sheregin elotzeis mechutz letzimson. Now this is referring to the little bit of it, the way the Mishneh Berurah puts it, is that there was hair that they used to have hats. Women used to wear hats, and under the hats they used to gather the hair, put all the hair together, and used to be gathered on and on top of that used to be the hat. So mechutz letzimson is that there was a bit of hair which would stick out. A little bit of hair, mechutz letzimson. And that Ramah says the hair which is sticking out a little bit, that is fine. If there's a little bit of hair sticking out, mechutz letzimson, out of that hair gathering, that's fine. That's not a problem. The kolchken, and even more so, sa'nochis. Now, sa'nochis over here is not referring to hair of a nochis, of a goiter. Rather, it's now nochis over here means foreign hair, which of course is referring to a shaitel. Sa'nochis, shaitel kolchken, even more so, shaitel nochis, afilu dak or lechasois. Even if normally the hair would be covered besides the shaitel, you're allowed to go out with the shaitel.
We'll
get to that, yeah. That what?
But you have to uncover hair. So we learn from there that she had to go around the cupboard.
Very good.
She's married.
Very good. No. Therefore,
unmarried girls never had to, was never.
Very good. That's right. We'll get to that very shortly. So it's very interesting. I mean, we'll get to that point. We'll get to that point in greater detail shortly. But maybe it's worthwhile introducing that my Shver's great grandfather. So you're going back a lot of doiras. My Shver's great grandfather has a he wrote a booklet, and we're going back in the early 1800s. It was in German, and he was not a rav, I don't think, but he was a Talmud Chacham, and he wrote a booklet to the public about how bad it is not to cover the hair. So it was addressed to, I don't know if it was addressed to men or women, I'm not quite sure. It's all booklet, which obviously tells us that in those days, in the early 1800s, there wasn't really an issue about ladies not covering their hair. It's really interesting. And very interestingly as well, and we'll get to that in Mishneh Berurah, I've got a copy, I don't have the original, but I've got a copy of a letter that Pshim Shlomo Fol Hirsch wrote. The greatest of all Ashkenazi Rabbonim, arguably. He wrote a letter to my wife's great-great-grandmother. Her name was Helena Pellstein, and she was an almona. She lost her husband, Joseph Pellstein, and she was an almona. When she was a widow, I don't know what the shaila was exactly, but I know that she got a tshuva from Reb Shimshon Fol Hirsch, and I've got a copy of it. And there he explained to this Choshev Rebetzin, that yes, actually, the tshuva says, yes, actually, almonas, just because your husband was nifta, you still need to cover your hair. Going back to following your shaila that you ask, yes, almonas also need to cover the hair, which is fascinating. She was a Rebetzin, but the shaila she was, Shem Shem Foresh answered to her shaila that yes, almonas also need, which I'm sure she did. So it must be that it was always a bit, I mean, it sounds like for the last couple of hundred years, it must have been an issue. It must have been an ongoing issue. Must have been, we're not the ones wearing the shaitels, but he probably is quite uncomfortable if you think about it. They're just not complaining, but he probably is a bit uncomfortable. So we have to address it a little bit, try to understand where does that come from, and let's try to find a little bit of a limud tzchus if we can. See if there isn't a limud tzchus with regards to saying dvarim shebektusha in front of ladies who don't cover the hair. Let's see if there isn't a limud tzchus. Let us see. Okay, let us see what the Mishnah Berurah says over here in Seif Kotten Yud. The Mishnah Berurah over here says the following. First white line. Shedarko lechasoysoy. Ve'afilu ein darko lechasoysoy. Rak b'shuk. V'loy b'vais u'v'chotzer. Even if the custom is not to cover the hair, the ladies only cover the hair in the shuk in the market. V'loy b'vais. But they don't cover the hair. B'vais in the house of a chotzer, in their own personal courtyard. Mikol mokom adeles b'chlal ervo hi lekule alma afilu b'vais. It is considered an ervo. That means that just because a particular woman does not cover her hair when she goes out, but she will cover the hair when she goes out, but she will not cover her hair when she's in the house, that doesn't change the halacha. It's still considered an ervo. The hair is an ervo, full stop. Ve'osu sham liko is nekdo, you're not allowed to say Shema, even if it's your wife, and even if she always takes the head covering off when she goes home, you're not allowed to say Shema. Any dvarim shebektusha in front of her, even if just a little bit sticks out, it's an erva. And you should also know. And that is an interesting Mishneh Berurah. Even if the custom of that particular woman is, and not only that woman, but of all her friends, in a certain area, the minig is, I can't call it minig, but that place is lenient with regards to head coverings. Leilich begilu rosh b'shuk kidecha putza. It's like the nonsense digger lady, ladies. Also, it is also vekmoy, and just like le'elyon gilu shoyka, if she's uncovering any parts of her body, like hand her back. Also b'chol gavna. It is also v'kanal b'sif cotton base, as we learned in sif cotton base. Kevin shetzrichos lechasa size mitzadadin. The Mishneh Berurah holds clearly, absolutely clear. The Mishneh Berurah says, just because there are women who do not cover their hair, it does not change the halacha. It's still considered an erva. So even if you are a Chabad Rav in the middle of Taipei, and everybody has, all the ladies walk around with uncovered hair, Yidden, non-Yidden, whatever, everybody's got uncovered, and you're the only one who covers the hair, it's still considered an erva. It's still considered an erva. And it doesn't make a difference what everybody else does. It's considered an erva. That's what Mishnah Berurah holds. And he carries on. And these brackets really should not only shouldn't be in brackets in my opinion, but they should be underlined. For Yesh Baze Isra Teure, and this is an Isra Teure, Medeksiv, as it says in the Pasuk, V'Pora Rosh Isha, Michlal Doi Michusa. The Mishneh Berurah reminds us very much like Abishai said of Gemara in Soita. It's actually a Pasuk when it comes to the famous episode of a Soita, a woman who there is suspicion that she may have been over on Znus. Suspicion how the Pasuk describes. So there's a whole episode of Parsha Soita. And it goes from, she has the whole process, whole procedure what happened to her. And when it comes to the absolute climax, just before she is forced to drink the Me'am Ma'orim, before this unbelief, there's the climax, just before she has to drink the Me'am Ma'orim, which eventually is going to make her, she has to then at that point, in order that we want to refrain her from doing that, we want her to admit her crime or keep whatever the sugya there is, we want her to, what happens there, we want to embarrass her in public. That she just, we don't want her to die. We don't want to embarrass her in public. Best in embarrass her in public, you know, that she doesn't have to go through death. And at that point, what happens is that the Pasuk says, we uncover her hair. That's what the Pasuk says. For Para Ezroi Shaisha, we uncover her hair. And that obviously shows us that the greatest embarrassment for a Yiddish lady is to uncover. This is done in public. And she also, we undress her as well, best in undress to take everything off. But the climax is actually to take her head covering off. And this is the absolute climax of embarrassment. And it turns out that this is really the, so we see from here, the poet says Isha, that's the climax of embarrassment. So from here we learn that obviously, if she doesn't want to be embarrassed, she obviously has her hair completely covered. And from here we learn that the concept of head covering is actually the Oraisa, it's biblical. It's not a minhag, it's not a custom, it's actually a din Torah. The Torah speaks about it. Where does the Torah speak about it? The Torah speaks about head covering when it comes to Sota, in a negative way. This is what the Mishneh Berurah says. V'gam kein b'nois Yisrael ha-machzikos b'das moishin izoiz mizeh mi-mois avoiseni ma'olam vat ato. This has been the minhag for centuries, that Yiddish ladies always had the head covered, and considered an erva. The osuk likros connect on, and you're allowed to read in front of them. The only exception is besulois, unmarried women. They are allowed to walk without covered hair. Or you could go in Sarah, Yoitz Mechotz Simpson, or a little bit of hair sticking out, a little bit outside of the Simpson. She said, Tolib Minigam Kumis. They depends on the customs. Sheminik Bnois Israel Azer, Bazer. If the custom of the ladies are there, Lizor Shaloy Loitz Afilome Atmina Purua, if the custom is there to be lenient on that, Chutzlik Shkrusheo, a little bit outside, then Mimele Bichlal Evri, Vosilikos Kinect. If they're Makbit, it becomes an Evo. If they're not Makbit, then it's not an Evo. Vimlav Mutter, the Kimmer, the Gilimbo, and Leke Urukelekame. He says the bottom line is that women, if the custom is, for instance, by Besulois, unmarried ladies, girls, if the custom is that they don't cover the hair, which is probably the minhag everywhere nowadays, I assume. Have you heard of any place that girls cover their hair? Have you ever heard? No, the only thing that I know is that there are in some places that are very makbit that that about certain hairstyles that the girls have to have certain hairstyles, but it's not much covered. But yes, we played certain hairstyles. But with regards to cover the head, the minhag is generally, she says, okay, fine. If that's a general minhag, if that's generally what girls do, so fine, so there's no hero. Nobody's going to have hero because of that. Nobody has thoughts because of that. And therefore, it's perfectly in order. It's perfectly in order. That's fine. But with regards to married women, that's a mefurish din Torah. And just because there are ladies who do not, who are not makbit, who are not careful on this Torah, it's still considered an ever. It doesn't help, man. It's still considered an ever. And you wouldn't be allowed to reach mine in front of them. Right. Now, I want to add over here, Sif Kotten Yud Beis. The Yud Beis, the Mishneh Berurah mentioned something, the name of the Chai Odom. I'm skipping a line in Yud Beis, and it says, Kosov Chai Odom, Nochiois, this is referring to Goyish ladies, She'einu Muzois Lechazet Sharon, who they don't have to be makbit on, they don't have to be makbit on covering the hair. Tzorich Ian, it's questionable, Im Dinon Bazeke B'sulois. as to whether they're considered besulois. So the chayodim tends to be making, I think that's what Mishnah Berurah means over here, that with regards to goyisha women, even if they are married, they've got a din of a besula, they have a din of an unmarried girl, and therefore their hair is not considered an erva. What do you think about that? If they're not going to get married, well, she's always going to be considered, she will be considered an unmarried lady, and she doesn't have to cover. Yeah.
Are there halachas of how going to get married? They live together, certain ways they're considered married.
Right, that's right. This is one of the, you're 100% right, this is one of the two tzadim of the Chaya Adam. Now, ultimately, we know there is definitely halachas with regards to a goyish lady who is married, she's got a different halachic status, without a doubt, than a non-married goyish lady. That's true. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah takes over, it seems, in the Chayodom's other tzad is that, nevertheless, it's not considered a proper marriage, and therefore we can still be making and consider them as besulos to some extent, as far as hair cover is concerned. Yeah, but it's an interesting point. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kotnu Dalet says over here that it's an important Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says it as follows: besides the tzemes that we're talking about, is besides the fact that she has got a hat, she also has a tzemes. It's a type of material which gathers the hair, that it shouldn't go out of the, it shouldn't be seen at all. If you've got a little bit of hair sticking out, if there's a little bit of hair sticking out of that, that's okay, a little bit of hair. But now he goes on. And the Mishnah Berurah brings the famous Zoya. Uve Zoya Pashas Nosoi. And Zoya says in Pashas Nosoi, Hichmiya Me'oid was very stringent. Shelo Yisroel Shum Sar Me'o'isho. No hair whatsoever should be seen from a woman. The gomem misakanuse leveise, it causes danger to the house. The gomem livno, and it causes also to the sons. To his chashvun bedoro. The sitre ach alisha is beveise. Chas v'sholem, if hair is seen, says the Zoya HaKadosh, if hair is seen in the house, that causes chas v'sholem, a sitre ach, the sotan, to be in the house. For kol shken, and even more so, im hoylech, im hoylechois b'shoke kach, if she goes outside of the house with open hair, it causes chas v'shalom a great danger for the family. Al kain, therefore, this is all the Zoyak speaking. Boy itza, a woman needs to be very careful. That afilu koyrois beisa, even the walls of a house. Leyech mon sar chad mereish, shouldn't be seen at all. Viv avdis kain. And if she is careful about no hair being seen, and no hair seeing the wall, even the halls of the house, don't see her hair, on that the apostle says, Bonecho k'shsile zesim, mazais b'noi salkun b'choshivin al shah b'nei alme. It is not very common or very frequent that the Mishnah Berurah quotes Zoya HaKadosh. But Avi Imamish goes to town, and he says, now, if a person is careful, a woman is careful, that her hair is not seen, she mamash gets gebenched. For loy oy, that the barim is barch b'chol brochon del eile, u brochon del esosa. The husband is gebenched, and children are gebenched, with all the brochas in this world and up, the eile of a brochon del esosa in heavens and here, all the brochas are on this family. For the children and children's children. These are the words of the Zohar Kodesh. And the Mogen Avraham says, it is proper to be makpid like the Zohar, and one should be very careful that the hair should never be seen, and the husband should never know, should not know what the color hair is of his wife. Should know, should never clue what the hair is of his, doesn't know. It just doesn't know what kind of hair his wife has got. And this is what the Mogen Avraham brings in the name of the Zohar. So it's interesting because I think there's a bit of there is something slightly misleading, because some people, the second you bring a Zohar, people think, this is Kabbalah, it's Midas Chasidas, it's a Chumrah. So this is not true. This is only the fact that the hair needs to be covered. We learned this in Mefurash Pasuk. That's a Mefurash Pasuk. But to be so stringent that even in the house, even the wool, koyro is basin, should not see in the hair, That is the Zayah Kodesh. And the fact that a person is extremely makpin on that, the fact that he gets such gewaltige brachas, that is what the Zayah Kodesh adds. But the fact that hair must be covered, that is certainly something that's mefurash halach. Yeah.
It's like a shape.
Yeah, this is very good. That's right. Yeah, the chassidim, the chassidois who shave the hair and the other ladies who do that, it's partially because of that. It's partially also because of chatzitza. They have a mahalach that chatzitza when they go to mikveh. And yes, it's very much based on this. It's very much based on this. Very much based on this. Yeah. Right. Yes, so that is what the Mishnah Berurah says. He brings here the famous Kimchis, the last line of the Mishnah Berurah. Uvi Yuma, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Zayin, Isa Maisa the Kimchis, brings the beautiful story of Kimchis. Beschus Hatznias, Hayisir Shoyse, but she was so careful about hair. The Gemara in Yuma said, what is Kimchis? And as I mentioned, I think on Thursday or Wednesday, that Kimchis, she had all her sons, I think it's 7 sons, they all became Kohanim Gdolim. And it was purely because of her great sneers. And she was makbet that the hair should always be, she never is Kohanim Gdolim, this expression of the walls of the house, not seeing her hair, that comes from Kimchis. And that is the direct source why she was zoicha to her children, like to her children being Kohanim Gdolim. Nothing to do with the father. Father could have been a, I don't know if it was a massive Talmud Chacham, but he was Naam Oretz. I have no idea. We don't speak about a husband at all. The only reason we know is that she was makbet about covering her hair to the very, very extreme extent. That's why she was zoicha to her children being like, very much like the Zoya Kodesh. If she's makbet, the bracha goes straight into the children. Interestingly, very interestingly, the Ben Yoda, he said he explains what is the connection between tznias and kohanim gdolim. Any idea? Any suggestion? What were we saying? Though? Yeah, but how? Why was that the schus? Why did she deserve that and not $1 billion? Oh, very good, beautiful. So the Ben Yoda and Rabbi Kagan, mamash beautiful. They say the following, that we know the Kohen Gadol is the only one to go once a year into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash. He's the only one. It's a hidden place. It's a place which is only for very, very special people. Special people who deserve it. It's not anybody's allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash. Only the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do that. Special privilege. VIP. And the A person, so say that she is extremely tzniyistic. She's extremely tzniyistic. She's so tzniyistic. She's doing more than the prerequisite. She's doing more than what's really necessary. She's very, very hidden. She's hiding her hair away, even away from the walls of a house. Even her husband and her children don't see the hair at all. She's being particularly hidden, particularly careful, and a direct consequence, you are hidden, you are tzniyistic, you don't show anything of yourself to anybody. That is such an extreme level of tzniyas, of hiddenness. It is such a word, hiddenness. Okay, if there isn't, it shall be from now. Okay? So see, she's such a high level of tzniyas that she deserves that her own children are going to the most hidden place in Klal Yisrael, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What a beautiful Ben Yoda. But only the Ben Yoda, only his father. Mamash, such a beautiful Ben Yishchai. Mamash, beautiful. Ben Yoda. Only Ben Yoda could think of such. And Rabbi Kagan. such a beautiful word. So we see from a direct consequence of great sneers going on to the children. By the way, the gdolim, they really, I mean, it's something which we see the gdolim when it's so posh that when ladies go to gdolim to ask for brachas, one of the first things they say it's sneers. Yeah.
No shaitel.
Shaitel is a machlokes, but yeah, the Ashkenazim are makel. Yeah, I know, but Ashkenazim, yeah. But Ashkenazim are makel. Been for centuries. Yeah, but that's what he says. So, right, so it is interesting. Now, based on all that, I just want to briefly mention, maybe, what could be a limud chos? What happens? I mean, this shaitel is even asking the Ma'asham, which was one of the achonim, the pre-war achonim. He was asked a very poshut shaila. He said, "What happens if he was misad kedushin?" And there were ladies already. There was obviously ladies in that generation as well that they didn't cover their hair. And he wants to misad kedushin. What should he do? He wants to make the brachas, under the chuppah, and the kala is not covering her. What can he do? Good question. Good question. No. Why not?
Go home.
Go home. What happens if he goes home? Because he's thought about that. He thought about that. He said, what happens if he goes home? And there is no rabbi officiating the wedding. What's going
to
happen then?
Either she listened to him or not.
And if, yeah, all right. So let's say if she listened to him, very good, you're right. But chances are that she won't. So what has he done then? So he writes, in principle.
There's no Kedusha.
Very good, you're right.
Or these other people, even if she listens, the Kalas and
so very good, it's true as well. So this Shaila was a Shaila. What should you do if you're forced to say Brachas in front? And it's the same Shaila if you've got a Shabbos guest, we've got anybody, and she's not covering her. What are you going to do? Are you allowed to bench? Are you allowed to make Kiddush? She's not covering her. She's not covering her. What are you meant to do? Or are you going to say, you go home now? What are you meant to do? What are you meant to do? It's a Mamash Shaila. And we're learning now. It's an Erva. And what are you meant to do? What are you meant to do? You can't send her home. What are you meant to do?
The rabbi
should go home. Yeah. Okay, the rabbi should go home. And if she came to your home for Kiddush, and she can't.
Yeah, well, we have to explain her. This is the Minhag HaMakom. This is Minhag HaBayit. You know, you're invited.
You have to come.
You're invited guests.
Very good. Yeah, if you have that strength to do it, come back.
Yeah. You're invited guests. They have to respect you. This
very good. If you are, so next time I have the problem, I'm going to invite you to sit in this room for me. It's a problem. It's very uncomfortable. So I want to just present very briefly. No, I won't present very briefly. I'll present it tomorrow very briefly. Okay, fine. Okay, just to recap what we covered tonight. We learned that Sar Shel Isha is an Erva, and we learned that it doesn't make a difference if the ladies in that particular place do or do not cover the hair. The head covering is an absolute Erva, Makom Erva, and we're not allowed to say Shema in front of that. We learned that there's two exceptions. One is Besulois, unmarried ladies, is fine, and also a little bit of hair sticking out, Bechutz LeTzimtzon, is also in order. We learned that Shaitel is okay. And we learned the Makor of all that is the Poraz Rosh Isha, which is learned with regards to Soita. And we also learned that Gosha ladies are not included. And their hair is fine. And we also spoke in great detail with regards to the Zohar Kodesh, which adds the great bracha that come on somebody who's Makbid. And we also mentioned the Kimchis and the Ben Yodo and Rabbi Kagan's Pshat on that. Okay, we'll carry on in Mitzvah.